You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
A decade ago, most drinking water in Canada and the United States came out of a tap. Today, close to a quarter of Canadians drink bottled water. Bottled water is the fastest growing beverage industry in North America. And the four large companies, Nestle, Pepsi-Cola, Coca-Cola, and Danone, harvest huge profits from the water they obtain for free or pay very little for. According to activists and organizations, the sale of bottled water is a threat to both the environment and the fundamental right of all people to access clean drinking water. Julie Graham is the educational coordinator for Kairos, and she joins me on the phone now from Toronto. Hello, Julie.
Good morning.
Why are people turning from tap water to bottled water?
Well, that's a good question. I think it's a really wide range of issues, everything from subtle social pressure or not so subtle to what we're hearing is just genuine concerns about the quality of tap water. And our question is, well, where's that concern coming from? And it's our sense that there is a lot of pressure and perhaps slightly iffy information coming from the companies who you've named, as well as others, who stand to make a real profit off of what is very often simply reverse osmosis tap water that we've already paid for once.
What are some of the marketing techniques used by bottled water companies to attract consumers?
We haven't, to be honest, we haven't focused enormously on that. We've been focusing more on the actual impact. But as I've gone around the country doing workshops on this, and we do a lot of community-based education at Kairos, a lot of it seems to be almost subconscious. Like from somewhere, people have gotten the impression that their tap water isn't safe. And I know that some mayors in the GBRD, for example, recently spoke out against the Brita ads that are running on TV right now that implies that you're drinking water out of your toilet if you're drinking straight tap water. And I can see why they're a tad upset about that. So it's that kind of inference that somehow it's just a lot healthier to drink bottled water, or that there's something fundamentally wrong with the tap water in Canada, even though it's actually tested far more stringently than what goes into a water bottle and can sit on the shelf for any number of months.
Where does most bottled water come from?
About a third of it is reverse osmosis tap water, and the other two-thirds come from what are essentially or should be public sources. Very often it's aquifer water, but it can come from streams and lakes as well.
And so what does it cost the corporations to get this water?
Well, in most cases, very little. The municipal licensing fees for water extraction are often very low. And that's partly, I think, because a lot of our laws across the country have not been written for that kind of extraction, right? Mostly that extraction would normally be done by farmers for irrigation, for example. And so until recently, the idea of extracting that groundwater and then selling it at a huge markup is just has not been something most Canadians have looked at carefully, because it is relatively new. And from what we understand anyway, the fees have just remained extremely low. And in many cases, there's still very poor monitoring as to how much is actually being taken out.
What are some of the impacts of bottled water? And maybe we'll start just with the environmental impacts of manufacturing water and then the actual bottles.
Yeah. Well, at a time when Canada seems to be, or at least the Canadian government, or maybe I should say the new government of Canada, seems to be determined to walk away from our Kyoto commitments, a lot of the concern about the manufacture of the actual bottles is the greenhouse gas emissions that the process creates, because it can be quite energy intensive. And then there's the actual plastic compounds themselves. But what we've actually been focusing on is the enormous impact of those empty bottles once they're done, the very large number of them that go into the garbage, and there's still a large number that go to recycling, but then the municipalities have to deal with. And our research has shown that it's the fastest growing source of garbage in Canada, single point source, and we've heard from a number of municipalities that it's recycling these things has put an enormous strain on the system. So that's one thing. Just to give you an example, I went for a walk along Lake Ontario this spring in a conservation area, and I stepped into the forest along the shoreline, and honestly, you could barely see the forest for plastic bottles. And you can usually tell what they look like, right, even with the label gone. And we did a count, and about two-thirds of them were water bottles. So they're just sitting there. There's no capacity to pick them up. They've been washed in by the lake. And for me, it was just a very graphic way of understanding just what kind of numbers of bottles we're talking about that are going to wind up in landfills where they're going to leach out or where they're simply going to lie around littering the landscape.
Are there any other impacts of drinking bottled water besides the environmental?
Well, I think one of the things that we focused on is the fact that bottled water is a bit of a foot in the door for privatization. And we've talked this over quite a bit. We thought, well, is that kind of overstating the case? But our sense, again, as we've gone across the country doing workshops, is that this does indeed seem to be a way of getting people used to the idea that they have to pay for their water. And it was particularly funny last summer, if you remember that big gasoline spike in prices, right? And everyone was freaking out about the price per liter. And we were saying in workshops, well, you're paying twice that for a liter of bottled water, three times that in some cases, without any of the taxes that are at least going to you know, kind of fuel our collective services as a society. So just talking through with people what that meant, there does seem to be this increasing sense that, yeah, well, maybe privatization is the best way to go because our water systems aren't safe. So again, you get that tie-in as well, right? You create a fear, which implies the public system doesn't work, and that in turn can fuel an openness to privatization. But at the same time, people apparently are just getting more and more accustomed to paying what really is a great deal for their water, with no evidence whatsoever that it's in any way superior, which gets back to your earlier question about marketing and why this is happening in the first place. So we would see that as something of a social cost of bottled water.
But we do have in Canada a lot of communities and individuals who can't afford to pay for water, to pay the prices that the bottled industry charges.
Yes, that's correct. Now, again, this is coming from Environment Canada, for example. Its statistics are that 100% of Canadians in urban areas have access to clean water. I know a lot of people don't like the chlorine, but that's easily dealt with, right? You just let the water sit out for about an hour and the chlorine evaporates off. But we've been particularly concerned about folks in rural areas. That's who makes up a lot of our grassroots network across the country in the churches and in the partner groups that we work with. And it's been very interesting to hear their take on it because, as most of your listeners would know, rural communities are really under fire economically these days, particularly farming communities. A lot of people living quite close to the line. But these are the people who reasonably could be expected to drink more bottled water because many of them are off the mains. They don't hook up to a municipal main. They're relying on well water. But they've been some of the strongest advocates for this campaign, in part because when you fill up your bottled water, if you're Corporation X, Y, or Z, you're very often doing that at a rural source, which is also the source for local wells, right? And so that's had a really immediate impact for a lot of people in rural communities who have actually had their wells starting to run dry. But they also, we find, just think it's particularly ludicrous, this idea of buying your water in little half-liter containers that you then have to throw away because often there aren't the recycling facilities in rural communities. But certainly the cost has come up as an issue for a lot of people, and it was illustrated in a particularly nasty way, I think, for the people in the Aboriginal community of Cacheshawan last year here in northern Ontario, where because of errors in the sewage treatment plant and where the water intake was located for their drinking water, they wound up getting very seriously ill. And they had asked Indian Affairs and the provincial government to do something about this for years. They weren't listened to, and they wound up having to import bottled water for an extended period of time just to be able to give the kids something to drink. So, again, it gets back to some public solutions as opposed to seeing private individual choices, and for those who can afford it, in the form of bottled water if we continue to not have confidence in our public systems.
What do you suggest Canadians do to protect the public tap water system?
Well, last year, and actually this year as well, we've continued to run a campaign asking people to get in touch with their municipality and to ask the municipality to sign a water declaration that declares water a sacred gift, which, you know, for us as people of faith is important, but where we found great resonance amongst people of all backgrounds across the country, and to also commit to the need to keep it public. So to keep that out of private hands, particularly out of any private deals that are done behind closed doors. And we've been really amazed at the response. There's over 130 municipalities that have signed on. There's still a few in the GVRD that that need to get down to this, and our local network is working on this, but they'd be very delighted to have some support in this, and it's a great way to get to know your municipal water system a bit better, because I think that's partly why people have this fear or this suspicion. They don't necessarily know how the system actually works. I think watershed protection is absolutely crucial, and again, a lot of the municipalities in the GVRD that I've spoken with have excellent programs that talk about the need for watershed preservation, and of course that relates to urban sprawl, so folks out in the Fraser Valley would have a particular interest in that, I would think. And we want Canadians to be more aware of the kind of policies that the federal government is promoting, because there's a real concern that we have a hand in pushing privatization on countries in the global south, particularly poor countries, through Canada's continued support of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund and the so-called structural adjustment conditions that they impose on poor countries that include things like forced privatization. So those are just a few things, and in particular, we would also like people just to consider not drinking bottled water. And that has gotten a lot of people upset when we've talked about that. I've been kind of blown away that you can talk about privatization without people getting really upset. And as soon as you say, maybe you shouldn't be drinking that there bottled water, they start to get quite annoyed. So I think that just points to the need for all of us to be talking with one another, challenging our assumptions a little bit, and in particular supporting students across the country who are increasingly calling into question exclusivity contracts that have basically turned their college or high school over to Pepsi or Coke, or the main offenders there, whereby the only beverages that can be sold in the school are Pepsi or Coke, and that would, of course, include bottled water as well. So there's a huge range of things that people can do to get involved in this, and if at the end maybe you can mention our website, or I will, and that'll give people a sense of where to go to get some more resources from ourselves or the Council of Canadians or the Polaris Institute, for example.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with me today, Julie.
No problem. Thanks.
I've been speaking with Julie Graham, who is the educational coordinator for Kairos.